And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today, Thursday edition. And another gorgeous day. What a string of weather. You know, I can't remember a string of weather like this. I mean, even going back several years, and, you know, even in the middle of the summer, when, you know, if you're ever going to get it, you figure you'd get it then. Certainly not late September. But this is a couple of weeks now, and specifically since last Saturday. I mean, we've been in the 80s every day. Sunshine, no rain, it's unreal. And as you just heard Tracy said, we're probably going to keep it, at least through the weekend and maybe even into the middle of next week. So, wow. Open talk on the program today. First portion of the program, 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. We'll have guests later. We'll be chatting with Dane Winkler and Buddy Thompson. They're both involved with the effort to acquire and renovate the Penn Theater, the long-shuttered Penn Theater, and turn it into a venue for live performances here in Butler, and see what they're up to, how they're progressing. And also on the program today, Stand Down Butler County. What's that all about? Well, we'll find out. Allison Rose will be with us later on the program. So those are our guests. Open talk to begin with, 283-2525. And without any further ado, let's get right to the people and see what they have to say here today. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hiya. How you doing?
Are there not going to be any more games on WISR?
Any more games? You mean?
Yeah. The Pirates?
Oh, yes. We'll have the Pirates. Yeah, until, well, the end of the season. Now, they get preempted by tomorrow night we'll have Knock Football. And I don't know what time the Pirate game is on Sunday, but if there's a conflict with the Steeler football, we have the Steelers. But otherwise, we'll have the Pirates till the end of the season, which, of course, is only, it's only like a week and a half away. Not much time left.
Right, but we haven't had them in the last couple of days, have we?
Yes, yeah, they've been on.
They weren't on my radio. It was just music. I didn't check last night because I had put it down onto Pittsburgh Sports Station, and I didn't bother to put it back yesterday.
Well, I didn't hear the game last night because I was not, I had another commitment, but as far as I know,
a couple of days before it wasn't on, and it seems to me that Knock Football wasn't on last week. I'm not positive. I heard them say something about losing the network, the sports network, but I thought that was just for the high school games.
Well, that was the MSA network, but that has been saved at the last minute.
I gathered that something I heard.
Yeah, they partnered up with the Trib Live. But all that was, the MSA network, they've streamed online high school football and basketball games for several years. Now, we provided them with the play-by-play of the Knock High games and the Butler High games from our radio group, and they streamed them on their network. But we weren't directly involved. We just fed them our coverage. But that's the deal on that. But that's okay now because there was some concern that that was going down the drain, but now it's been financed, so still going.
But that wouldn't have had anything to do with the Pirate game, would it?
No, nothing whatsoever. That's totally separate from the Pirate Radio Network.
Oh. Okay, well, I missed a couple games.
Well, they're not doing so well, are they, huh?
No, they're not.
No. Well, I have hope for next year. I didn't look for them to, you know, do that well this year anyway, but they have some outstanding young pitchers coming on, a lot of young players. Look, you know, they never had the guy from South Korea, Gung, never even made it into the country. Starling Marte got suspended for, 90 days or something like that. They had some real big hits early in the season that just put them behind the eight ball.
Yeah, they did. But for a while, they were doing well. But I don't know. It seems to me they must have problems in the locker room.
Well, you know, that's interesting. It could be. I'm a big believer in that. Look at Cleveland, rather a run-of-the-mill team, and then all of a sudden they got hot, and they won, 22 games in a row. But, you know, they didn't have a sudden influx of players. They just got motivated, you know, and kept building on each other. I'm a big believer in that in all sports, not just baseball.
Yeah.
Well, hey, nice to talk with you.
They've got some problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sure,
bye.
Good to talk with you today. 283-2525. I'm unaware of any technical difficulties, engineering difficulties. We don't. No one here seems to know anything about that. I personally did not hear the Pirate game last night because I was had a church commitment, so I wasn't available. Speaking of which, I got back and I flipped on Channel 13. And in retrospect, that series, that Ken Burns series on Vietnam, I don't know whether anybody's watching that or not. That is absolutely riveting. Once I start watching it, I can't stop. You know, I look at the clock, I say, oh my gosh, I got to get to bed. I can't stop watching it. I've missed one night so far. It started on Sunday. I'm not worried because it's going to be repeated. And I also found out that it's already available on DVD and for download. I thought they wouldn't do that for a few months, but it's already available, still pretty high-priced. If I were you, I'd wait. I think it'll come down a good bit. I know when Band of Brothers came out, and oh, gosh, that's 10 or 12 years ago, I guess, now. It was the film, Band of Brothers, about the Screaming Eagles, 101st Airborne, Easy Company in World War II. And it was on HBO. It was one of those series. It was 10 hours long. And I was enthralled by that and immediately bought the DVD, and it was, you know, fairly high priced. And you can get it now for like $8 or $9, you know. Wait a while, I think, unless you really have to have it instantly. I understand there's a companion book as well, which I have not seen. But the PBS specials usually do that, so that doesn't surprise me. I haven't seen it yet. But the series itself is riveting. Anybody watching it? Anybody seen it? I will never be able to watch all 18 hours. I just can't clear my schedule to be in front of the TV night after night for that long. I just can't do it. So that's why I'm not worried. I'll be catching up later. But it's pretty powerful stuff. I have done an informal survey here at the station. By the way, Open Talk, 283-2525, our number, 283-2525. I did kind of an informal survey this morning, and it appears to be generational. The younger employees here for whom the Vietnam War is kind of like, you know, the Spanish-American War or something like that. They have absolutely no firsthand knowledge, nothing. Or it was too new. Talked to one person who said it was too new when I was in history class to study it. But those who are a little bit older, certainly baby boomers, just find it absolutely riveting. Phone number, 283-2525, Open Talk. Let's get back to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hello.
I have not been watching the Vietnam series, and I wish I would have after talking to you. However, I just went to WQED's Facebook page, and an hour ago they posted, if you've been unable to keep up, we're giving you a chance to binge watch the first five episodes, one after the other, Sunday, beginning at 11 a.m.
11 a.m., okay.
Yeah, and that would, it says it would take you right up to the next episode at 8 p.m.
Well, that would...
I think I'll record it.
Yeah, it's a little tough to watch that long.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, it's pretty, I don't want to say it's gruesome, because it's not, you know, there are some pretty graphic battle scenes in it, but it's not, it's not a horror movie by any. What strikes me most, and it just makes me feel so sad for the guys who fought over there, the Vietnam veterans, when you see the way that our government officials lied during that, it's just, and I mean, there's, it's there in black and white. You know, they show video clips of William Westmoreland and Robert McNamara and President Lyndon Johnson. And it's just so sad to hear them. They're lying, and they know they're lying. And we've got boys dying over there, and it's just, it's gut-wrenching, you know?
I was going to say, it sounds like an emotional, you need a break after a while.
Yeah, yeah. I could not watch it for 5 hours straight. But let me tell you this, too, while I got you. It's a very balanced look. It is not, it's not necessarily anti-government. It's certainly not anti-Vietnam veteran, by no means. Mm-hmm. They talk to a lot of veterans. They talk to people who were protesting the war. They talk to North Vietnamese soldiers and South Vietnamese soldiers, which is fascinating. And most of them don't speak English, so they have subtitles underneath. But it's fascinating to look at the war from their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a to me at least, it's a very balanced look at the war. They're not trying to take one position or another, but.
It sounds like it might be worth it to wait for the DVD, to come down in price.
Well, I'll tell you what you do if you have a chance. It's on tonight, and then I think it's off until Sunday, okay. I believe. But
yeah.
Tune in and, take a look. See, if you don't like it, you don't like it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Not committed, but might want to check it out.
I mean, I was pretty young, when that was going on. So, I don't know the facts behind it, how... Mm-hmm. How it got started, and I mean, I knew that it happened, and I knew that it was controversial, and that sort of thing. But
that's the other thing that they examined in quite a bit of detail, and very complex. It's not, you can't just say, the United States was all wrong or all right. There was a whole lot of. First of all, the French had occupied that part of the world for decades. French Indochina. So those people had been fighting for independence long before America ever even knew where that place was, let alone had people there.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you. Thanks.
Sure, thank you. Mm, sure. Bye-bye.
283-2525 is the number. I would like to say that I wish it was a little bit shorter. 18 hours is a lot, even if you're watching it over a period of a week. But on the other hand, would they be able to go into the detail that they do? Ken Burns. And last night, the two specific battles that they detailed, it's pretty riveting stuff, no question about it. The Vietnam War by Ken Burns, same guy that did documentaries on the Civil War. I think that was his first one. And then he did one on baseball. Did one on jazz, the history of jazz. All of his documentaries, all of them on PBS, by the way. All of them fantastic. I don't know how old that guy is. I have no idea. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. There is a book talk day coming up on Monday. And I'm just getting into the book that we're going to be discussing. And, boy, it's a powerful piece, too, folks. I hope you can be with us on Monday. The book is called Killers of the Flower Moon. I know, it's kind of a strange title. Killers of the Flower Moon by David Graham. And it is it's the story of the horrible treatment of the Osage Indians. And their their history. I don't know. Till I start, I'm not that far into the book. I'm probably a third of the way in. But I didn't know anything about the Osage Indians. I've even read quite a bit about Native American Indian tribes. Most of what I've read is about the Indians from this part of the country, you know, what's now the northeastern United States, the Delaware, the Algonquin, the Mohawk, and so on. And I didn't know anything about the Osage. But in a nutshell, the story is they were herded off their land, and that's not the only tribe that that happened to, I'm sure you know. They were herded off their land and moved to, reservation, territory that was dry, and most people thought it was useless land in Oklahoma. And they just pushed them there because nobody else wanted to live there. And then, of course, they found out there was oil under their land. And the Osage Indians became extremely wealthy. And then they started being killed. And there were people who tried to marry into families. And then their spouses would be murdered and they would inherit the oil rights. It's a really, really sad story. True, by the way. This is not a novel. It's a true story. So I can't wait to discuss it. Well, the folks from Prospect Library here, they're the ones that picked the book out. I had not heard of it before. We'll discuss it on Monday. Book Talk Day on Monday, 12:30. Killers of the Flower Moon by David Graham. The side story to this is the beginning of the FBI. The beginning of the FBI. There was no federal police force whenever this started. And this is in the early part of the 1900s, when it really started to get bad. And the FBI was reorganized under J. Edgar Hoover. I didn't realize he went back that far, back in the 1920s. And they're the ones that started cracking down on this and finally solved a lot of the murders. So anyway, it's a good story. We'll discuss it in detail on Monday on Book Talk. Open talk right now, 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Are you a person who gets irritated when you're driving, irritated at other drivers? I do, and I don't know, it's probably a fault. Well, I definitely get overly irritated, so that's, there's no question that's a fault. That's a character flaw, but I just can't help myself when people do idiotic things. And I guess I need to take a chill pill every once in a while. Last week I was in a line of cars at the, I was on West Brady Street, getting ready to cross Maine. There's a traffic light there, and you're not allowed to make a left turn. And there's a big overhead sign. It's overhead. How could you possibly miss it? It says no left turn. The light turns green. Nobody moves. And I'm thinking, I'm the fourth car in line. I'm not going to get through this intersection. I have to wait again. Finally, the first guy in line makes a left turn. Illegal. Held up the whole line of traffic. The light turns red again. I'm going ballistic. I have to calm down. Take a chill pill, Dave. 283-2525, our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi there. How are you today?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm always Friday. You know, that's a good thing.
Boy, that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Well, when my boyfriend's driving and he sees what you see, it just irritates him to no end. And then when you get up and maybe they're making that turn is on West Brady Street, I think. You're not allowed to make a left, and a lot of people try to do it. And
that's where it is.
People going through it, yep. And there was a police car, two cars ahead of us, and he kept on going. He didn't even turn, you know, go after. And I thought, but that's not why I called. I wondered if you read the article in the paper about the sewer. People on West 10th Street.
No, I have not. No, what's the story there?
Well, we've had. I live about a half a mile from where the gates are on Alameda Road, so I'm down in the, I guess, near West Penn Street Extension. But from 2 years ago, they put the sewer lines in, and of course, I've been here 12 years. Awful sewer smells. And anyway, the neighbors down in the 700 block also have this. It goes from my house down to the, the intersection Miller Avenue and West Penn Street. It goes from there to there.
Yeah, I know where
and
that is.
And finally, after people down in the 700 block complaining about it, they're finally going to do something. But nasty sewer smells. And just, I guess they were supposed to put like a rubber seal around that thing that's in the street, and that'll keep some of the smells out. And then coat the inside in the pipe. And I wonder, why wasn't this done in the first place?
Does seem to have been the thing to do.
No, it's nothing new. It's been a story, been around for about, I understand, 20, 25 years it's been around, and they're just now fixing it. So, that's up to the Butler Area Sewer Authority.
Yeah. Don't know.
All right.
Appreciate you bringing us up to date. Thanks.
All right, thank you. You're diverse, a lot of people think like you. I know that.
Thanks. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. I just want to tell you, stay calm when you're in traffic. My son was murdered from an irate driver who was drunk. Because my son was driving too slow.
Oh, my gosh. Mom, my sympathies. That's terrible.
He was shot for driving too slow in front of an irate driver.
Oh, my goodness.
That was drunk, so just stay calm when you see somebody doing something you don't like.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Sad. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Well, that's a sobering thought, isn't it? That puts things in perspective, huh? Wow. 283-2525, our number. It's Open Talk, 283-2525. Hi there, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. I was having to laugh when you were saying about you have to take a chill pill. Because I'll be honest, I should carry a whole box sometimes the way things are going. It seems like every day I need a chill pill.
Some drivers just absolutely astonish me. Yesterday I was behind a guy who was driving through town. I never did actually see the person, so I have no idea how old they were. I don't know whether it was a man or a woman. I know that it was a short person because I could only see the very top of their head from where I was behind them. But I was behind this car for like three blocks in the city. There was no passing or anything. And they would pull up to a stop sign and just sit there. And I think, you know, what? And then finally pull out. At a red light, light would turn green, wouldn't move. Just sit there. And I'm thinking, what? You know, is this person ill? Or, you know, what's going on here?
I always wonder when I hear that, you know, what you're saying about people doing illegal turns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If the police would just sit near the lights. You know, sometimes I'll hear a police call, and I understand they got to have two cop cars. But then I'll hear other calls. It's something not really extreme at all. Man, there's three cop cars there.
Yeah.
You know, if they just do more arrest, and I really feel if they did some of these more tickets, and as far as the more severe crimes, personally, I am really fed up with some of these judges in Butler. Plea bargain. And letting these people out of prison without even bail. You know, they do things that's really bad. And I read in the paper all the time where they get out of jail without bail. I thought the district attorney was going to clamp down on this drugs and murders and all this stuff.
Well, there is some leeway, and I don't know of any specific cases to which you refer, but just generally, there was a story I saw in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette within the past few days, it might have been the end of last week, there was a judge down there, I don't remember her name, but she had sentenced a bad guy, a crook, to a particular sentence, and this guy appealed it to Superior Court, and the Superior Court overturned her sentence and sent it back to her, And she sentenced the guy to exactly the same thing. She was obviously, you know, incensed that it had been overturned. So I don't think we can paint with too broad a brush. You understand what I mean?
No, I understand what you mean, but when you read the paper, unless the articles are off, when you read the paper, just like I read last week, a paper of, I don't know their name, so I can describe the black male with white hair in the paper. You know, he had seen where his friend from out in Herman killed that girl, shot her.
I know the case.
You know which one I'm talking about. Yeah. And there were three people sat in jail.
Yeah.
Well, the one guy had taken pictures supposedly of the body and everything. Well, he was in jail, but Tim McEwen let him out. Now, I guess he's a judge. Let him out with no, you know, no bond or nothing. Just let him out of jail. I mean, and, you know, I guess district attorney, one of the assistants or something, said that he shouldn't be out because he might be called back for the case for some reason. I just don't understand. All I see Tim McEwen leaving these people out, and I'm not picking on Judge McEwen, but I would just like some of these judges to come on and have an open session, talk, and explain why they do these things.
Well, I think in that case, I could be wrong, sir, because I'm not followed that case that closely, but I think that particular individual is still facing charges. I think he was just released on bail. I could be wrong.
I just don't understand why there was no bail.
I hear you. But my point was, I think that person might still be facing charges. I don't know, quite frankly.
I guess the reason I'm saying it the way I'm saying it, if you're still facing charges, mm-hmm. what's going to keep you from taking off? Mm-hmm. And who's going to go after you if there's no bail?
Yeah. I'm hearing you. Yeah.
It just seems so ridiculous, and I heard the district, district attorney say they're going to clamp down, get stricter. I mean, this had to do with a murder of a girl for no reason, and they let them out. I mean, and then I see cases where people are beating their girlfriends up, their wives and everything, and they let them out with no bail or $2,000 bail, which is about $200, and I'm thinking if I went up and smacked the judge in the face, do you think I'd be out on $200 bail?
Probably not, no.
Okay, opinion, Dave. No, it just seems like it's lopsided sometimes.
That's what we do here. It's no problem. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Sure. Bye-bye. 283-2525. Let's move on to this line next. Hi there, caller. Thanks for your patience. I know you've been waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Thank you, Dave. You were talking about drivers.
Mm-hmm.
A number of years ago, when the law was first enacted, that you needed to have your lights on if you had your windshield wipers on.
Yes, yes.
And a woman called in, and she was really angry. She sounded like an older woman. She was really angry because she thought that that was going to drain her battery unnecessarily. She didn't have to drive with her lights on. And she thought that the people drove too fast. As I recall her comments, she said that she drives at least 5 miles under the speed limit because people drive way too fast. And I was thinking at the time, I thought, my goodness, lady, you are a hazard on the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't know what your remarks to her, you may have even said that to her at the time.
People that drive too slow are as much of a hazard as anybody. Plus, what's she talking about? You don't drain your battery. If your car's running, if you're driving, you're generating electricity while you're moving.
Not only that, but the safety of having your lights on. Other people can see you, and it's so important. As a matter of fact, the car that we are currently driving, they have special daytime running headlights.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you turn the car on, those lights come on. And I know that that's not the case with a lot of cars. This car particularly was originally titled in California, and that's their law, that was a safety feature that they enacted. And I can't believe that Pennsylvania doesn't have that law as well, because you know we have a lot of days when there's fog or just a cloudy, a very cloudy day. Obviously, these days that we have right now, this week and a half, that's you know, beside the point, but, you know, we don't have that kind of weather all the time. So
I think that was one of the greatest safety. The last two cars I've had had daylight running. In fact, the car I have now, I have never turned the headlights on or off. They're automatic.
Right.
There's sensors that figure out whether it's daylight or not, and they either have the running lights on or they put the headlights on. But I'd have to hunt for the switch, to be honest with you. I mean, I know where the dimmer switch is, but I've never turned them on or off.
Sure.
It's automatic. It's a great thing. When I see a car, you see a car coming at you sometimes that doesn't have the daylight running lights, I think, oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, I have to scoot, but it was good to talk to you
quite
today.
All right.
Yeah,
Thank you, Dave.
I have time to squeeze one more call in here, and then we're going to have to say hello to our guests today. Caller, this is Dave. Thanks for waiting. You've got the last word. Go right ahead.
Okay, Dave, there was an accident on Monday on Highfield Road.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleman came through the stop sign, probably 50, 60 miles an hour, somewhere in there, I guess they estimated, and hit this Jeep and flipped it over on its roof. Okay, the officer in charge asked the girl why she was going so fast. She said, I was pulling out from my street onto Highfield, and the guy come up and blew the stop sign and hit me on broadside and flipped my Jeep over. Well, she was upside down in the vehicle. Luckily, a gentleman cut her seatbelt to get her out because the oil and gas was all over the place. And the officer wasn't very courteously to, because there's other witnesses that were there talking about it, wasn't very nice to the girl. He tried to blame her for flipping her car. And I just don't understand why an officer would be trying to convict her of the accident when it was the guy that blew the stop sign and hit her broadside. Hmm. On Highfield Road, it's 25 miles an hour. There's 90% of them go over 25. 50, 55. They're traveling up and down there.
I've seen it.
I live in the area, and I know. I hear it all the time, you know, people saying, you know, about the speeding on there and blowing the stop sign. So that's all I wanted to say is, like, you know, that road there is dangerous. It's Highfield Highway, not a road. It's a highway.
Was this accident out near Highfield Hall, or was it?
It was towards the Legion.
Okay. Yeah, I know where you are.
American Legion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
East Boundary on the Highfield, to be exact. Okay. Mm-hmm. East Boundary Street, he blew the stop sign and hit the Jeep broadside and put her on a roof. And the officer wasn't very nice, trying to blame the girl for the accident.
Hmm.
And, you know, I just don't understand, you know. I wasn't there, but everybody that I talked to about it, okay, they were there and helped her out of the car. And I'm going on what they say. But, you know, I'm just saying about Highfield Road, 90% of people go through the stop signs and they're speeding. No 25-mile-an-hour jobs on there.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, thank you.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you. That'll be sorted out, I'm sure. You know, talk to both sides and, you know, we'll see. I do recall that. It was just a couple of days ago because they shut down Highfield Road for a while after that crash. Yeah. Okay, we need to take a break. Our first guests are going to be joining us next here on the It's Your Turn program, so please stick with us. We're going to be talking about what's up with the Penn Theater Revitalization Group. That's next. It's Your Turn on WISR.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
With winter weather just around the corner, contact a qualified service technician to ensure that your propane system is operating safely. Make sure that everyone in your family knows what propane smells like and what to do in the event of a gas leak, including knowing where the gas supply valve is and when and how to safely close it. Call us today to learn more.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Propane Gas Association and your local propane service providers.
Do you have an Amazon Echo, Tap, or Dot in your home? If you do, you can load the new Butler Radio News skill and get the latest local news, sports, and weather from Alexa anytime you want. The Butler Radio News skill is the area's only skill to offer local news, sports, and weather. To get the skill, open your Alexa app, search for Butler Radio News, and enable the skill. It's that simple. Alexa, what's in the news?
From the Butler Radio Network, here is the latest news.
The Butler Radio Network is proud to be a leader in providing up-to-date local content to you on the devices you use, on your radio, your computer or tablet, your smartphone, and now on your Amazon Alexa device.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Don't forget, later on the show, we're going to be talking about Stand Down Butler County. What's that all about? Well, we'll find out. Allison Rose will be with us with the details. But our next guests are with us right here in the studio now, and we're going to be talking about the ongoing hopes and plans to acquire and revitalize the long-shuttered Penn Theater. We have two guests with us, Dane Winkler. Dane, good to see you. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Dave.
And Buddy Thompson also. Buddy, haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Does your group, Dane, have an official name? Are you, like, incorporated with an official name?
Yeah, it's called the Penn Theater Performance Company. It's a 501c3. We have 6 members on our board. And so far this year we've raised $16,000 approximately after paying our expenses and everything. So we're moving in the right direction.
Are both of you board members?
Yes. Dane's the head of the board.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to no one who doesn't wish you well. And I've also talked to a lot of people who say it's quite a chunk that they're biting off. You know, I always say, well, you might as well aim high. You know, you're never going to accomplish anything. You know, but I know that you had organized the hope is to you have to acquire it too, right? Because it's not you don't own the building yet.
Right, we have a lawyer on our board who has been in talks with the solicitor for the Redevelopment Authority. The Redevelopment Authority is the owner of the building at the time, and they have a lease worked out. They're just finishing some minor details, and then we're going to sign that lease, and we're going to have an option to buy it in that lease.
Excellent.
So that kind of eases back on the huge undertaking. You know, it's just a lease. We're going to make some lease payments, and we're going to be able to sublease the 2 storefronts and then use it to generate some revenue for our organization.
Great idea. Yeah. It's a complex history of the ownership of the structure since it was shuttered many, many, many years ago. And it's not our purpose to go into that here, but I did want to make sure that I didn't realize you were that close to having control. So that's great.
Yeah, this is the closest we've been. And as far as I know, and people at the Redevelopment Authority have told us that they've never been this close with anybody since the building's been empty. Mm-hmm. Because it is a huge undertaking.
They've been trying to market it, right? I mean,
they've attempted, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask one more thing about this, if you know. Wasn't there a Pittsburgh Foundation that was involved, at least somehow, that helped to get the marquee lit up again, or am I confused on that?
No, you're right. They're called the Pittsburgh Historic Landmarks Foundation, and what they do is they preserve and restore historical buildings around the Pittsburgh area, and they put up the money for the Redevelopment Authority, basically give them a loan to take control of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Redevelopment Authority could restore it. But then they fell on their own hard times, and that's why the building has been sitting empty, because they don't have the funds to put into the building to open it or run it or anything like that. They've been doing minor maintenance just to keep the building from getting any more damage. Our organization actually got a big donation from an anonymous donor to have the roof repaired. That was May 2016.
Excellent.
And that's helped to stop any water damage from happening. And so the Landmark has done, they put some money into the marquee to get it fixed up, just get the front looking nice again. And but their loan only goes so far. I mean, sorry, their grant only goes so far too. Wow. So,
how, Buddy Thompson? How do you've raised about $16,000 already? That's over and above expenses. How'd you raise that money?
Through live theater. We're trying to, and we're not trying, we are presenting concerts. This year we're doing a lecture series as part of a fundraiser, but also to let people know what kind of entertainment that we would like to put into the Penn Theater. Mm-hmm. So our plans so far are to take the upstairs theater, the smaller theater, and turn that into a black box theater, so that we could have smaller events there. People can come in and rent it. We can have comedians there. We can have jazz bands there. We can have a variety of things upstairs. So it's just not a single purpose unit. And then downstairs, as we move forward, we would like to get, we don't want to be pigeonholed into what we're doing. Certainly we want the community to be able to use it. We would like to provide some education, but we also want to bring in rock bands, Squonk Opera, maybe Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, different events. Maybe a small bus and truck would come in to Butler for music theater. Those sorts of events, that's the long-term goal. So it's not necessarily going to be to show movies. It's to use the movies to bring live theater to Butler.
Mm-hmm. Buddy Thompson, you're the owner of the Butler Center for the Performing Arts.
Yes.
So we can see your interest in this, having a downtown venue for a live entertainment. Dane Winkler, what about you? Are you just interested in architectural preservation or community welfare? What's your interest?
Well, I love live music, and there aren't enough live music venues in the Butler area. When I was out of high school, I moved to Pittsburgh, and you can find live music every weekend there in multiple places, and it was easy to run into. And there are some places up here, but they're not dedicated live music places. So I was living right off Newcastle Street a few years ago, and I just started asking people about what was going on with the Penn Theater, and nobody was doing anything. And I thought, well, let's get something going. So I started asking people, fast forward a few years, and, you know, we got something going. I have a family now. I'm going to be raising my family in this area, and I just want to see the city doing better. So that's one of my motivations. I love live music. I like to just be a spectator. So sometimes when we're putting on shows, I might not be working. I want to be enjoying myself just like everybody else.
I love live music too, and I tend to like it more. Not necessarily in a closet, but in a smaller venue. That's just my preference.
Sure, exactly.
Quite frankly, I've gone to my last stadium show.
Right.
I've gone to my last, whatever Star Lake is called now. I have no idea. If you'd love that, that's terrific. I'm happy for you. It's just not my thing anymore. I'd much rather prefer a more intimate, personal encounter with the live musicians. So listen, before we go any further, you have an event coming up, part of your continuing series of fundraising events for the ongoing project. And this is mid-October, right?
Right. It's going to be on Friday, October 13th. It's actually the second event this year that we're having on a Friday the 13th. So we're kind of bucking the superstitions, if you will. So. This Saturday is the Fall Fest. So we're going to be down in front of the theater just selling some wares and talking to people and handing out information about what we're up to. And we're going to be selling tickets to this show that's happening at the Element Cafe on Friday, October 13th. Myself and Bruce organized to have – Bruce is the owner of the Element Cafe. He was able to book these two comedians, John Knight and P.J. Williams. And the people that work at the Element Cafe are going to make a dinner for everybody. So for $35, you can get a dinner. And it's going to be a buffet style. And then there's going to be a little break, and we'll have two comedians do about 45 minutes each. These are professional comedians, and in fact, I've actually seen John Knight one time at the Improv in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably about 2004 or 5, and I can tell you he's a really funny guy. I actually reused a couple of his jokes in private conversations with people.
I hope listeners, I'm sure there are some people who have not been to the Element Cafe yet. There's a wonderful example of repurposing a building. Right. It's now a wonderful restaurant, but they have maintained much of the original architectural elements, and it's a neat place.
It is. Actually, yeah. This coffee right here I bought before I came over there.
It's on South Main, by the way, 200 block of South Main. So, and that is Friday night, October 13th. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize we had a Friday the 13th. Where does that come from anyway? Who cares, right?
Yeah.
No, that's old school, isn't it?
Two other things I want to point out about this Friday the 13th event at the Element Cafe is tickets are $35. You can purchase them there at the Element. You can purchase them from the Holly Point building. Buddy will have them down at his studio, 122 West Penn. And maybe the most important part of this is it's going to be BYOB.
Okay.
So for $35, you're going to get food, coffee, tea, water. But you can stop at one of the breweries, go to Snack and Pack, pick up some beer or wine, bring it over with you.
Friday, October 13th, dinner and a comedy show. We'll go over the particulars of that again before we wrap up. But just in case somebody had to leave us, I didn't want to wait till the end to talk about that. I'm excited about the whole endeavor to revitalize the Penn Theater. It's sad that the building has been shuttered so long. It's not unique. That's happened all over the United States, quite frankly, where downtown single-screen movie theaters they're gone. You know, we've got the gigantic multiplexes now with 10 screens, 12 screens, and all this other stuff. But here we have a building that can be rehabbed. From what I understand, I've never actually seen this myself. The only time I was in there, it was still a movie theater. There's a stage there. I mean, that was originally built for live performances. Behind the screen that everybody remembers from the Penn, there's a stage there.
There's a stage. Huh? Absolutely. It's not a large stage. We would have to build a thrust out onto it. What I'm learning, I've always been in the theater end of thing, but in the live music end of things, as you sign their contracts, they have certain specifics that they that need to be accommodated, and mm-hmm. one of those is size of stage.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have to be building onto the stage and do a few modifications. We're going to keep the Art Deco theme throughout the building. Take right now, it's very 70s, I would say, 70s pink
yeah.
brown. Sort of color. So we're looking in that direction. And last week it was very exciting for us. Dane will tell you about this. But we had contractors in the building, plumbers, electricians, all sorts of people looking at the building. And what we have found out is the building is actually rock solid.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah.
That might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who their only knowledge of it is for several years a deteriorating facade.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, we had the city inspector in there whenever the contractors were in there, and they were all talking. And so the collective thought is this is not too bad. In fact, this inspector said to our contractor, you know, you got to take care of this and this to get up to code. The rest, like I trust that you will, you know, use your best judgment. And the this and this are, there's an exposed I-beam from when the Worsley building came down.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk up into that little garden, you can actually look up and see some bricks missing, and you can see one of the support beams in there. What you do is throw some bricks in there, mortar it, we're good. And the other thing is the doors on the front doors and the back doors need to be, some of them can be repaired, most of them can be replaced, but they need to be lit up so people know where the exits are.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't major undertakings.
By the way, hats off to the Butler City firefighters at the time of the Worsley's fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
For saving the Penn Theater. But the folks, they butt right up against each other.
Yeah, there's actually a bit of an airspace in between those two buildings, so that was really helpful.
Yeah.
But as we have found out, the Worsley's building was there first.
Yeah, by at least 40-something years, I would say.
So that wall, the Penn Theater wall, has never been exposed.
To the weather.
To the weather.
Well, I'm so pleased that it is capable with the minimum you could have expected cost to get it functional and ready to go again, because I feared the worst. I've not been in there since the last time I saw a movie.
Right. We don't know what the full cost is for renovation, but we know for new electric service, and we're looking around $20,000, and new plumbing service and fixtures is going to be around $30,000. And then the rest, like heating, ventilating, air conditioning, and then general construction of the stage, and everything. We're getting quotes on that right now.
That. Yeah.
The I was just up in State College last month, and there was a movie theater when I was going to school there that's now converted into a live stage venue, the State Theater. It's right beside the college diner. I couldn't believe it because I knew what you guys were hoping to do. There's also a place that just occurred to me. I love to go up to Niagara on the Lake to see shows.
Right.
It's the Shaw Theater Festival. And they have three main venues. They're doing all sorts of shows in repertory at the same time. One of their main theaters is a former movie theater that they have converted into. They do musicals there, for goodness sakes. And it's not a real big building. It's smaller than the Penn.
Wow.
And I saw Anything Goes done on that stage, so it can be done.
There are several in the country. Right now, I can't remember the name of Rick Fosbrink's organization. Just moved from Chicago to Pittsburgh. But there are about 1,200 in this country that have been restored. And the economic stats of what they have brought to their individual towns are amazing.
Yeah, there was a study in the one in Greensburg, the Palace Theater.
I forgot which all is about that one.
Yeah. Which is larger than the Penn, but in Greensburg is a little bit bigger of a city, but they generate around $9 million a year just from having that theater open.
That's the city of Greensburg generates, not the theater.
Right, yeah.
The city of Greensburg generates nine plus million a year,
right,
in revenue just from what's going on in that theater. And their one very large theater, they have about 2,200 seats. We know a lot of stats right now because we're doing a lot of visiting and talking to people. Mm-hmm. So and seeing the path that they went. Irwin also has a little theater, movie theater that they we've done.
Yeah. And Oakmont. The Oaks Theater and Oakmont. And Lamp in Irwin, yeah.
And Franklin. Kenny was just in Franklin, PA.
Mm-hmm. So. I went to high school in the Greensburg area, and it was the Manus Theater is what it was. It was a gargantuan movie theater. It was like the Stanley used to be in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Before it was turned into the Benedum. And it was gargantuan. And that's the Palace now. And they got national name acts in there. Paul Anka, Olivia Newton-John. Who knows? Who would have thought that those kind of people would be coming to Greensburg, for goodness sakes?
Yeah.
And Butler, you can if you live in the greater Pittsburgh area, you can get to Butler easier than you can get to Greensburg.
Absolutely.
It is a mess to get there.
Yeah,
that's just become a horrendous traffic jam along in there.
Right.
By the way, this is parenthetical, but I don't know if this is an advanced copy of the Historical Society's calendar.
Right? Yeah,
did you see it?
Yeah.
I got mine yesterday, and
there's some cool pictures in there.
Yeah, I hate to mention it to the public. I don't know whether it's available for the public. It will be soon, folks, because the Historical Society, they'd love to have these ready for Christmas. But I'm sure you've seen then series of pictures about what the Penn Theater looked like in years gone by. In fact, it's the month of January. And it's pretty fascinating. Even when that was built, they had little ancillary businesses on either side, you know, the same way that it remains today.
Yep. We've been in talks with some people about moving a small business into there. Nothing set in stone yet, but we're just kind of floating it out there. So whenever we have the lease ready to go, then we can get somebody to move in there right away. Mm-hmm. And we want to be a little bit choosy about what kind of business goes in there because we want that business to benefit the Penn, and then we want the Penn to benefit their business.
Good thinking.
You know,
yeah,
it's kind of thinking. So that you can hit both places at the same time if you're a consumer.
Mm-hmm. Well, to go back to Stratford up at Niagara on the Lake, they have a little theater bookshop right next to theirs.
Yeah, that's
right. We would love to be able to have eventually. We speak in phases, phase one, phase two, phase three. But we would love to turn one of the spaces into a central ticketing for anything in Butler County so mm-hmm. that people have one place they could go and purchase their tickets, know what's coming, have a complete calendar, such as they do in other cities. Butler County is a rather large county, so we would love to be able to do it for the county. But I think that's phase three. That's somewhere.
Do you have it? And I hesitate to ask you this because I know that there's always another T to cross or I to dot. But is there a timetable when you think you might actually be able to sign the lease? And
We're going to be able to sign the lease before the end of this year, probably earlier. But when we met with our contractor last month, I'll go ahead and say his name, Brent Thomas, mm-hmm. WK Thomas Construction. His mother used to work at the Penn, so that's his vested interest in why he wants to help us.
Wow.
Kind of get this thing fixed up. We mentioned to him that we want to have we want to pass all the code violations to get an occupancy permit by April 1st, because later that month, exactly 3 weeks later, April 22nd is the 80th anniversary of the opening of the Penn, and our goal is to have that occupancy permit by April 1st, so that on April 22nd, we can have Bill May do his Butler Historic Theater's slideshow presentation inside the theater, the upstairs theater, and it'll be the first time the public has been in there since 2008 or 9, something like that.
Wow!
And we want everybody to take a look around and see how much work still needs done. We'll talk about how much work we've done, but there's still a ways to go. So we want people to see it and, to keep supporting the idea.
Listeners, isn't this exciting? It is to me. I didn't realize you were moving ahead a pace like this.
Blinders. Just put your blinders on and go.
Well, so many projects.
We need to do more public relations work, I think.
Well, it's great. It's. I'm not astonished because I knew of your resolve. We've talked in the past, but I didn't realize you were moving ahead quite so quickly. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
We're trying. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be back here next month to be appear on your show to give you an update.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be interested in. I thought the last time I'd been in that building was to see a film, but that's not true. I was in the little theater upstairs, the upstairs theater for. It was some sort of a presentation. I don't remember. It wasn't a movie, mm-hmm. but it was a talk or something. By the way, did I hear you say that you're thinking about that, lectures, or was that my imagination?
Starting in January, February, March, April, we're having a lecture a month. We have asked three people to come in to raise money, but also when I think of a theater, I think of having a lecture series, and so this is the start of that.
Well, man, when you get that nailed down in terms of who's going to be coming in to speak and so on, please let us know, because that's wonderful. They do a couple of those in Pittsburgh every year, as I'm sure you know, and they're very popular. They're well attended.
Yeah, we actually already know who's speaking and on what topics, if you want me to go ahead and tell you.
If you're free to release,
And February at the Grand Ballroom, we're going to be having Bob Dandoy speak about the state of education. And then in March, we're going to have Paul Scanlon at the same place, the Grand Ballroom, talk about environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then in April, it'll be Bill May's Butler Historic Theaters.
I know all of those gentlemen. Bob Dandoy is an outstanding educator, both high school and college level. Mm-hmm. Paul Scanlon, I know from the Associated Artists. He's a wonderful artist, community activist. And Bill May, I think everybody knows Bill. In fact, he was here this summer. Give us a little bit of a preview of his program that he's put together on movie theaters. Fascinating history of the
really
theaters.
Cool. I learned a lot. Betty and I both watched it at the Alameda Carousel Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are more. I thought I knew all the old theaters in Butler. Yeah,
right?
I knew nothing.
And the little stories he has to tell about each one of them.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
The movie star that came from Butler.
Absolutely.
Went by a different name.
Who knew?
And Bill says, oh, by the way, her house is still up there on the Center Avenue.
I don't know. And she had that little communism link or whatever was going on.
Well, she was blacklisted.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, by the anti-American whatever it was,
yes,
committee.
That's what he said happened to her. She had she was rather a big movie star, and she had done a movie with Jimmy Stewart as the lead actress, and she was stunningly gorgeous. Yeah. But then he said she was blacklisted.
That was McCarthy and his crowd. Yeah.
What's her
McCarthy
name?
McCarthy. It was Joan, but I can't think of
the last names.
Yeah.
I can't even think of one. Of them.
She went by a different name in Butler than she did.
Well, I remember her father owned a car dealership.
Right. Which is where Dunkin' Donuts is now.
Yes.
It was a Chevy dealership.
More to come when Bill May does his. I think it's great.
I don't want to give it a whole thing away.
Have a speaker series. That's fabulous. Yeah. And the concept of. You used the term Buddy Thompson, he's a theater guy. Black box theater is a common term in the theater business. Not all big theaters have a black box, but many of them do. The National Theater of Ireland, it's the Abbey Theater in Dublin on Abbey Street. It's the theater of the whole country, has a black box in the basement.
Oh, wow.
And you go around the side of the building and go down the steps. It's called the Peacock. And it's a wonderful place to see a show.
Right.
You know, it's a tiny little black box theater.
Right.
I'm so happy we're going to have one here. This is great.
Absolutely. All the other, I'm the grandpa of the board, so all the other young people on the board, when I said black box theater, took me a while to get it into their heads exactly what.
I'm not a theater
well, the
guy.
Thing is, you're open then to, you know, if all this comes to fruition, hopefully it does, there are some performers that you would bring in that you'd need a bigger house for.
Right.
But there are others that it's more of a niche thing, and you would want a smaller house.
Right.
So to have both available, it's great. It's a bonus.
Right. Yeah.
It's a bonus.
And the hotel was quite excited about that as well, because they could utilize the new hotel could utilize that space in different ways for their own needs.
Not too much travel time either to block away.
Right. So it's a win-win.
Listen, I want to go over the next upcoming event, and you know, it's a fundraiser, but gosh, on its own, it's a great night, folks. Dinner and a comedy show. Dane Winkler, give us the particulars again for that, because it's coming up pretty soon here. It's almost October already.
Yep, Friday, October 13th. The doors will open at 6 o'clock. We'll have some basket raffles available. Dinner is at 6:30, and then the show starts at 7:30. $35 a ticket. You can pick up your tickets at the Holly Point Building, the Element Cafe, or the Butler Center for Performing Arts, BYOB.
And they're available now, right?
Yes,
they're available now. Yeah.
Hey, guys, thanks for stopping in. Keep us posted, okay?
Absolutely.
On a regular
basis,
because this is exciting, what's going on here and how it's moving so quickly. It's great. So keep us posted. Our guests, Buddy Thompson and Dane Winkler, both board members of the Penn Theater Performance Group. Oh, company, sorry. I'll get it right one of these days. Penn Theater Performance Company. Their hope, their dream, and they're moving on it to acquire control of and then renovate the Penn Theater downtown. Good stuff. Coming up in just a moment, Stand Down Butler County. We'll find out what that's all about with our next guest, Allison Rose. So please stick around. We have more to come here on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back.
Introducing a new cooking podcast, Now That's a Mouthful. This weekly program explores the shared experience of cooking and the challenges of preparing new and different recipes. Discover something new, whether you're a raw beginner or a seasoned pro in the kitchen. New episodes of Now That's a Mouthful are available every Wednesday. Start listening today at nowthatsamouthful.org or on your favorite podcast app.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
It's homecoming for the Knock Knights Friday night as they take on one of the WPIAL's best. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join Dave Bacon and me as the Knock Knights host the South Fayette Lions on Friday night. It'll be homecoming in Saxonburg, and we'll have all the action starting for you at 6:30 with the coaches' show. 6:45, we're live at the stadium for the 7 o'clock kickoff. Knock football here on 680, presented in part by the John W. Thrower Cement Corporation, the United States Air Force, the law firm of Dillon, McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Kelly's Restaurant in Saxonburg, United Plate Glass, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, Butler Health System Faster Care, Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, and Slippery Rock University. It's Knock and South Fayette Friday night right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and on the MSA Sports Network.
Hang on a second, folks. Get my headphones on. Get back. Just saying goodbye to our previous guests, Dane and Buddy, and welcoming our next guest into the studio and getting her all mic'd up. Allison Rose is with us. Allison is the Community Housing Development Coordinator with Butler County Human Services. It's nice to see you. It's nice to have you here in the studio with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're all wondering about Stand Down Butler County. I've got all kind of people asking me, what's this all about? I heard this was going to be your topic of discussion today at 1:30. So what is Stand Down Butler County, Allison?
Stand Down Butler County is a free community event being held for veterans, their families, and community members in need to provide a free day of supports and services to those experiencing a housing crisis or to those who are in need of community supports.
Do we have a lot of veterans who are experiencing housing crisis?
Yes.
More than we want to imagine, and more than we want to think, huh?
More than we would like to think, yes.
Yes. How do you identify them?
We do a lot of outreach prior to the event. We are work closely with VA Butler Healthcare, along with a lot of the housing and homeless providers, to reach out to veterans who are in need, who we're aware of. And then we provide transportation if needed, but we do our best to get all veterans, make sure all veterans are aware of the service, not just homeless veterans, but we do a lot of outreach to the community to make sure we get the homeless veterans there.
This all comes down a week from tomorrow, right? Next Friday?
Yes, sir. Next Friday, September 29th.
And where and what time?
It is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the American Legion, Post 778 in Lindora.
That's the one at the top of the hill, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 10 a.m. to 2. And what exactly is going to happen there now during that period? It's a week from tomorrow, folks, next Friday.
We have over 40 vendors registered to attend the event. So we have vendors for housing and homeless services. We have vendors for medical, physical, mental health, drug and alcohol care. We have vendors who provide various types of supports, so resources, support groups, comm peer supports. Then we also provide free services, so a lot of free giveaways, I guess I should say. So we are going to have a lunch. We're going to have clothing, footwear, free haircuts, free hygiene essentials, things like that, so individuals can come and just kind of take full advantage of anything that they may need.
Is this strictly limited to veterans? What about family members of veterans?
It is for family members as well as individuals in the community that may not be veterans but have specific needs. Yes,
it's wonderful.
Related to housing.
And what's this cost for all the people who come up there next Friday?
It is a completely free service.
Really?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. So these people, these vendors, all these things that you just mentioned, they'll have like tables or booths all around the room. Is that how it works?
Yep. We have all the vendors set up to have a table. So they're going to bring information and supplies about what services they can provide. They'll have staff there that can specifically take time to talk to individuals to help explain what services they can provide. Yep, so they'll be set up inside and outside of the Legion.
Mm-hmm. I am, and I'm sure I'm not alone, Allison. By the way, listeners, if you're joining us a little bit late,
on the It's Your Turn program today. Welcome. Dave Malarkey is my name. Allison Rose is our guest. And with us here in the studio, she is the Community Housing Development Coordinator for Butler County Human Services. I'm particularly attentive and empathetic right now toward veterans in need because I'm watching the Ken Burns Vietnam series on PBS that started, it's been on every night since last Sunday. And it's riveting. It's at times gut-wrenching when I see these veterans being interviewed. So it's a good time to have this, Allison.
It is. And you mentioned Vietnam. The term stand-down started in the Vietnam era, where the troops that were out in the field in combat, when they would come in to base camp, it was called a stand down because they had the ability at that point to kind of rest, change their clothing, get medical care, get dental care, get some food, send letters. And so that was called a stand down, and it was known as a period of rest.
I never knew where the term came from.
Yes.
I did not, no.
So, and that came from the Vietnam War era, and so we use that term stand down today because it is an opportunity for individuals, even though they're not in combat, they may be struggling with a lot of other things, and so it's an opportunity for them to come and learn about the resources that are available, and it's all located in one place because mm-hmm. a lot of times it's hard to access, especially if you're homeless. You can't access all those resources or don't know how. So we kind of bring all those resources to one place so they can access them easily.
Good idea. Yeah, a lot of these people in need don't have access to transportation, or at least their own transportation. They have to rely on public transportation, so it's good stuff. Of course, Vietnam lasted a period of years, but generally speaking, it's 50 years ago now. And... you know, veterans have different needs at different times in their lives. And a lot of Vietnam veterans are reaching a time in their life when they may have needs that they didn't have 10 or 20 years ago.
That's correct.
Yeah. Have you done this before? I assume this is sponsored by the Butler County Human Services, or are there others involved?
This is our second annual stand down. Last year was our first. We had over 200 individuals attend, so we're hoping to make it bigger and better with each year. But mm-hmm. There's a committee of individuals that are responsible for kind of planning and implementing the stand down, which is various agencies. It's VA, Butler Healthcare, Human Services, Butler County Housing Authority, supportive services for veterans families, veterans leadership program. So that there's several agencies that are involved in the mm-hmm. planning process.
I've talked with folks over the past years from the, specifically the Housing Authority and VA Butler Healthcare, now the A.B. Abraham VA Butler Healthcare Center. And I know that they've made concerted efforts over the years to try to first of all identify those who are homeless and to help them if they want help. And I mean, I've actually gone out, you know, sometimes at night to find these people and, you know, say there's help available. We can help you if you want it.
Yes, they have a very good homeless outreach team that reaches out to individuals anytime during the day. If there's a call at any time, they go to see if they can engage that person to seek services. And you're right, sometimes they don't want help.
Yeah, I suppose for a lot of listeners that would be hard to understand. But it's not as simple as it might seem. Sometimes a person is homeless. It's not necessarily because of a lack of funds. It's not necessarily because they don't have any money. Sometimes there are other issues that they're dealing with. They may be dealing with a mental health issue or something like that. And you have to realize that. It's not as simple as it might seem on the surface.
Right. Yeah. There are lots of underlying issues that could be a result. Sometimes, and we find this with all homeless people, it oftentimes is a pride. You know, that they don't want to ask for help from anybody,
mm-hmm.
Which our homeless outreach team is very good at attempting to re-engage, to say, you know, we're here for you. When you're ready, we're here for you.
And sometimes individuals, Allison, I need you to pull your chair up a little bit for me there. My engineer is signaling me. That's grand. That's fine. I want you to be comfortable there. And I know it's easy to lean back in these chairs. It's soft, comfy, especially at this hour of the day, right?
That's right.
This was
after
like
lunch.
Whenever you were back in school, it was the first period after lunch, you know. So it was horrible to try to stay awake. What was I going to say? Oh, sometimes an individual may not want to admit what they're it's analogous to post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, a lot of service personnel, former service personnel, somehow think that it's I'm searching for the right word, not manly to admit, you know, that they're suffering post-traumatic stress. It can be pride, it can be sometimes just embarrassment at their situation. And when, from your standpoint, from you and your people, you have to respect that. The dignity of the individual is uppermost, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The dignity of the individual. Well, this is a wonderful day of free services, supports. Did you get any feedback? Because you did this for the first time last year, right?
That's correct.
Did you get any immediate feedback from people who were there who said, no, not a way, this is pretty good stuff?
We had a lot of positive feedback. We had a short planning time to get number one on the ground. And so for the short time that we had to pull it all together, we did a pretty good job. And we had some pretty positive feedback. We had a lot of vendors that came and offered their support. We had the support of the Veterans Administration. And again, we had over 200 people. 151 of those were veterans attend the event. So we were very happy with the outcome last year. And again, we're just hoping to grow it every year from here on out.
You know, we have more female veterans these days, and there will be more in future years, because for the first time, some of the returning veterans from the Middle East are going to be women. You know, women are in combat zones even now, not just support services. So that'll be a whole new set of things to look for in the future. And there will be different issues sometimes for a returning women veteran than men. Yeah. Take a quick break. We're talking about Stand Down Butler County. It's a wonderful thing, really. It's a week from tomorrow, next Friday, at American Legion Post 778 in Lindora. I don't know whether that's technically still in Lindora or not. It's at the top of the hill there, right on the edge of Lindora. I think most people know where it is. One of our sponsors on the program today, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Hey, folks, tomorrow and again on Saturday, it's their end of quarter sale at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. They do this four times a year, the end of each quarter, obviously. Wow, we're three quarters of the way through the year already? Wow. Yeah, end of September. Yeah. Here's the deal. Every item at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, 50% off. That's tomorrow and Saturday, this Friday and Saturday, hours 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Every item in the store, 50% off, excluding purchase items. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. First of all of the proceeds from the operation of this store stay right here in Butler County. And those proceeds help to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank on Elm Street in Butler, and also their client aid program. So that's where a lot of the money comes from for these other two great good deeds of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. And hey, find some great bargains tomorrow and Saturday. They're in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South of Butler. If you've not been there, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store is about four stores up from Friedman's, right on that side of the Greater Butler Mart. Tons of free parking right outside the door. If you're going to drop off items that you're donating, the drop-off bins are right inside the doors. I was there a week or so ago. Drop off a few things, bada-bing, bada-bing, you're in, you're out. And you've got a smile on your face, because we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. But don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, and again this Saturday, the end of quarter sale at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. We will be right back to talk more with Allison Rose here on It's Your Turn right after this.
Midday lottery numbers for you. The pick 2 is 14-1-4. The pick 3 is 497-497. The pick 4, 3083. And the pick 5 is 43770. The wild ball for each of those is 2. The treasure hunt is 12, 15, 18, 21, and 22. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking with Allison Rose. Wanted to give you a quick update on some future topics here on the program, just a program note. First of all, this coming Monday is a book talk day, and you know we do that once every month. It's usually the fourth Monday of the month. Once in a while we have to switch that around because of a holiday. Almost always Memorial Day, for one thing, because it's always on a Monday. But it's a great thing organized through the Federated Library System, and the various public libraries in Butler County would take turns, and they select a book. Sometimes it's their one of their book clubs, select a book for discussion, and then folks come in from that library, and we talk about the book, just like Oprah's book club. The Prospect Community Library will be here this coming Monday, and they have selected a wonderful, wonderful book. I'm about one-third of the way through it. I had never heard of the book before, Killers of the Flower Moon, by David Gran. It's the story, the tragic story of the Osage Indians, Native American Indians who were, as so many Native American Indians were back in the day, they were removed from their native lands and forced to go on a reservation, and they put them on what everybody thought was worthless land in Oklahoma, and lo and behold, oil was discovered under their reservation. And they became very wealthy, and that led to crime, not among them. Other people coming in and trying to take advantage of them and marry into their families. And then that's where the murder part comes in. And many of them were killed so that their surviving spouse, the interloper, could have the oil rights. I know. I never heard about this. This is a true story. This is not a novel. And by the way, the sidelight is the FBI, as we now know it, was organized to try to solve these murders, the Osage Indian murders in Oklahoma. It's a great book. It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. We'll be talking about it on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Great pick, by the way, by the Prospect Community Library. That's on Monday. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we will be talking tomorrow with the representative from the Pennsylvania Military Museum. I didn't know we had one either, did you? Pennsylvania Military Museum. Tyler Green will be with us tomorrow to tell us all about that. And we'll also have guests tomorrow from St. Michael, the Archangel Church here in Butler. This weekend they're having their big Festa Italia. Saturday and Sunday at St. Michael, the Archangel Church, they convert their hall into like a little Italian village. That's nice enough. But then there's the spaghetti and all the rest of the great Italian food. We'll tell you about that on tomorrow's program, too. Allison Rose is with us right now. She is with the Butler County Human Services. She's the Community Housing Development Coordinator. How long have you been in this field, Allison? This is noble work. I don't think a lot of people could do with the work that you do.
I've been in this field for about 14 years.
Always here in Butler, or did you come here from somewhere else?
Always in Butler, yes. Mm. Yes.
That's good stuff. I learn more and more about Butler County Human Services. I think we have to explore more of what's offered on this program. I just did a program last month, I guess, about some of the mental health services that are available through Butler County Human Services. Sometimes programs all get stuffed under one umbrella, and then we don't realize what's going on under that umbrella. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes human services are often hard to access and to fully understand. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's we have a growing need. The population of Butler County is growing. Are you in the new annex at the County Government Center? Is that where you're?
Yes, we are located on the first floor.
I know that human services was growing so rapidly
before the construction of that building that, I mean, there were like people with desks out in hallways and stuff like that. There was just no room in the...
That was mine.
Yeah, really? I haven't been in that new building yet. I just drove by it yesterday. I was down in that area of town, and I said, you know, I have to come up here and go through this and see what's cooking here. It looks wonderful from the outside.
Yeah, please stop and see us. We'd love to have you. Yeah.
This is the building, folks, that was constructed where the old jail used to be, actually.
That's correct.
The old jail was torn down. It was kind of a vacant lot for a while, and then the county commissioners decided that, well, they didn't decide. It was obvious that we needed more space in the county government center. Can you believe, well, you wouldn't have been here yet, that all of the county's ancillary services used to be in the Lafayette building right next to the courthouse?
I can't believe that.
No.
At all, no.
You look at that now next to the county services center. It looks like a closet. I mean, it's just tiny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing that happens when you've got a growing population. You've got a growing need for services. Yeah. So you work in other areas of housing development, and apart from what we're talking about here now, the stand down program coming up a week from tomorrow, are there other housing services offered through your department?
Yes, I chair a committee of members for the, it's called the Local Housing Options Team, or we often refer to it as the LHOT, and that is a group of social service agencies, faith-based providers, community members. We have about 25 or 30 of us. And the goal is to focus on gaps within our housing and homeless system to try to increase safe and affordable housing for individuals that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet the first Tuesday of every month to kind of discuss housing concerns, housing availability, populations that we're identifying, and any changes in the populations that we're seeing they're identifying with housing crises. And then we kind of work on plans to help bridge those gaps. Right now we're working on Homeless Awareness Month, which is being held in November, so we're doing some planning for that.
It's a subject that a lot of us, I'll include myself, we don't like to admit. We think that homelessness, housing problems, is something that only major urban areas have. And we feel sorry for those people in, you know, wherever, New York or Chicago or whatever. Aren't we glad we don't have that problem here in Butler County? Au contraire, we've got that problem, don't we? Yeah.
Yes, we do. Our homelessness looks different than what it may look like in Pittsburgh. We may not see people literally sleeping on a park bench, but we definitely do have homeless individuals that are sleeping in the woods in tents or in sleeping bags. We have individuals who are kind of couch hopping every night because they really don't have a place to sleep and really can't stay at any one place any particular evening. And a lot of those people we identify have children, you know, their families with children that don't have a safe and stable place to sleep every night, you know, when they have to get up for school the next morning. So absolutely, we have homeless people.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
It's important work that you do. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes it doesn't get publicized, but it's ongoing all the time. Yeah. And folks, please, if you joined us a little bit late, we want to go over the details of Stand Down Butler County a week from tomorrow, next Friday. Can you go over the pertinent information there one more time as we wrap up here, Allison?
Yes, please join us next Friday, September 29th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the American Legion Post 778. The address is 150 Legion Memorial Lane in Butler. It's a day of free services and supports, lots of giveaways, so please join us if possible. And please contact me if you have a need or a transportation concern. My phone number is 724-284-5114.
And I've got that here, so if you didn't get it and you need it, you can call us here at the radio station. We'll be happy to pass it on to you. And by the way, this is free. It's a free day.
Free day.
Next Friday, yeah. And you don't need to make a reservation or anything to, you know, go there. What about vendors or people providing information? Is it too late for them to sign up to come? Are you all full?
We are full, unfortunately. We took registrations up just until a few days ago, but what we realized is we ran out of space. Mm-hmm. But if you would really like to come contact me, we might have some space for you outside if you don't mind.
Well, I wanted to mention that I had a form here, but I got this information a few days ago. So I, once I learned about what you were doing, I feared you might be full up already. Hey, that's great for the people going there next Friday.
That's right.
There are lots of places to stop and